Welcome to the 21st. I'm Reginald Hardwick. According to the latest numbers from the Illinois Department of Public Health, more than 1,200 people have been tested positive for the coronavirus in the state. 12 people have died. In an effort to help stop the spread of the coronavirus, employees here in Illinois and across the country have been told to work from home. But for people who work outside of a traditional office setting, oftentimes that is not an option. Last week, Governor J.B. Pritzker ordered all bars and restaurants in the state closed to dine-in customers through March 30th. Delivery, drive-through, and pickup can continue, but the decision has already had a profound impact on the industry. Last year, restaurant and food service jobs in Illinois accounted for 10% of overall employment in the state. That's more than 500,000 people. And that's according to the Illinois Restaurant Association. For more on how the food industry is being affected, we're joined on the line right now by Monica Ng. She is a reporter for WBEZ Chicago and Curious City. Monica, welcome back to the show and thank you for joining us.
Hey, thank you.
And as always, those of you listening, we welcome your thoughts and questions. Are you a restaurant owner maybe affected by the stay-at-home order? Give us a call at 800-222-9455. Again, 800-222-9455. Monica, let me ask you, what does the stay-at-home order mean in practice for restaurants?
Well, it means that they can do curbside pickup, they can do delivery, they can do carry out, but no dine-in, no congregating in a restaurant. And, you know, some have been kind of working that out, you know, as people kind of like are waiting for their Starbucks coffee or waiting for their sandwich. But a lot of them have sorted it out by now.
You know, it's a little empty. The streets are a little empty here in central Illinois. What about there in the Windy City? I mean, what is it like when you're driving around the restaurants that are normally
packed?
They
are very empty. Yeah, I'm trying not to go out as much as possible. But over the weekend, you know, I walked and when there was nice weather, and that's even a little dicey because, you know, the sidewalks aren't that wide. You know, and so we're actually doing a story about how close you should let a jogger get to you. If they're just passing on the sidewalk. But things are super duper slow. A lot of people are ordering takeout and carry out. They have their questions about its safety, but that's something we dealt with in a story. But it's bleak.
How have bars in particular been impacted? I know they can't really do curbside pickup.
Well, yeah, the interesting thing with bars is, you know, many of them don't have a robust food program. And even those who do, that's not where they were making their money. But strangely enough, there's been this sort of relaxation of laws, and takeout cocktails, margaritas and such, are now legal for this short time. Big Star over in Wicker Park is doing a brisk business in takeout margaritas that people are buying. They ran out at one point, and they finally got them restocked. I just heard from a woman who owns Five Rabbit Brewery, Cerveceria, and they said that one way you can help them is by ordering beer for delivery. They're like, you know, it's legal for a short time. So those that have stayed open, and very few have, are trying to make a go of it with delivery cocktails.
Interesting.
Delivery beer.
Hmm.
Or pickup.
Now, right before Governor Pritzker ordered all bars and restaurants in the state to be closed for dine-in service, you were at a local chef's meeting in Bucktown where they were discussing all of this. What did you hear from those chefs, and what have you heard from them since the closures?
Well, you know, when this was, I watched or listened to the governor's address with them in real time as they got that gut punch that said everybody's closing down in, you know, in 48 hours. They were terrified for their industry, for their staff, sort of for the future of the culinary scene in Chicago. I mean, there was so much uncertainty at that point. You know, the rules had not been laid out except for that very brief speech. And they're still terrified. Everybody was scrambling to figure out what to do with all of their highly perishable inventory and what to tell their staffs, you know, to tell people who are hourly workers who, you know, were living on pretty slim margins to begin with. You know, in the meantime, there have been some campaigns, but, you know, there's still a lot of uncertainty.
And it's not just the owners who are being hurt by these closures. Let's play a clip from your reporting here, Monica. This is pastry chef and Logan Square Pretty Cool ice cream owner, Dana Cree. She says there is an incredible amount of fear around this whole situation.
Fear that the people who rely on me for their means aren't going to have that and what that means for them. And then fear that should we have to shut down, that we won't be able to open back up.
Back out live, we're talking with Monica Ng of WBEZ. Monica, it seems like most of the owners you spoke with were concerned not only about the business as a whole, but of course for their employees too. What have you been hearing about or been hearing from restaurant employees?
Well, many have filed for unemployment, and they're waiting to hear what kind of local, state, and federal programs there will be for them. Whether it's they've already heard some about loan abatement, rent abatement, so that they don't necessarily have to pay off these big loans that they've had for expansion on the restaurant, or just people who need to pay rent on the restaurant or rent in their homes. Evictions have been held, and that helps. They're hoping to hear more about relief from payroll taxes. Some people have been kept on, and it's kind of a dicey situation to be kept on, continuing to go to work, continuing to deal with the public, even if people are, trying to take the best steps. I talked to one restaurant owner here who, he's doing curbside pickup, and it's basically his busboys who are learning to do it, and they need the money and they need the work, but they're out there every day and they're in contact with people. It could be that other people could be a danger, or they could be a danger. It's tough. Everybody's kind of looking at the other person saying, are you the one or am I the one? Everybody just needs to stay 6 feet away from each other for everyone's own good. But we should also note that you do not get COVID from food.
And I know the governor said yesterday the unemployment offices, their computers crashed, and they're adding more resources to deal with all the influx of folks that are looking for benefits. If you're a restaurant owner or restaurant employee, perhaps you can join the conversation. Call us at 1-800-222-9455. Again, 800-222-9455. Monica, Chicago is known as a great restaurant city. How do you think this whole situation with the coronavirus crisis will affect the overall food landscape in our state and there in Chicago for years to come?
Well, nobody knows at this point, but, I've heard people pontificating saying maybe 40% of the restaurants that were alive before COVID will still be alive when we come out of this. Maybe it'll just be the strong chain. Maybe it'll, like the small people who were kind of working on margins to begin with are not going to make it. Those who had sort of been planning for a rainy day may make it. But, most restaurants, they're working on sort of a month-to-month and very slim margins. So it does not bode well. I think it's going to be a very, very different restaurant landscape when we come through the end of the tunnel.
And have you heard about anybody putting together any sort of aid for folks in the restaurant industry to help them?
Yeah, there are a lot of those. Big Star actually started something through the Edward Lee Foundation that anybody can Google to help restaurant workers at this time. And they're going to be distributing packages of food on a first-come, first-served basis over there in Wicker Park at Damon and Milwaukee. There are big campaigns called Too Small to Fail, where they're asking people to call their federal representatives to please, for lack of a better term, bail out or give support, give stimulus to those in the hospitality industry. And then there are lots of smaller campaigns. I just wrote about one yesterday that really is touching people's hearts. There's a guy called Paul Boundis who's got a family restaurant out in South Suburban Chicago in Alsip, and he also runs a lot of school feeding programs where he makes delicious food from scratch for schools. It's just unbelievable. And when he heard that, all of this stuff was going to shut down, he said, "Well, who's going to be taking care of the seniors?" He said, "I'm gonna." He put it on Facebook. He said, "Do you know a senior who's going to have a hard time getting food during this, or anybody in a vulnerable population? Please tell me who they are. If they're in our area in the south suburbs, we will bring them free food." He was overwhelmed by requests. The phone has been ringing off the hook. He's given out nearly 3,000 meals through volunteers who wear masks and gloves, and he just brings it to them. And there was this one 93-year-old man who I talked to who just couldn't believe it. It was even outside the area. It was in Frankfort, Illinois, in Will County. And the owner, Paul Bendis, showed up at his house with this food, and he said, "I can't believe anyone would do this for me." So these really warm moments of people reaching out right now with food and with hospitality, but the hospitality business really needs the help too.
Learned so much. Thank you, Monica Ng. She's a reporter from WBEZ in Chicago and Curious City. Monica, thank you for joining us on the 21st.
Thank you, and take care.
Much like food service, the music industry is one that relies on people physically showing up and spending money to survive. Sean Newman is a journalist and a musician. He plays guitar and bass in the Chicago bands Jupiter Styles and Rat Boys. Sean, welcome back to the 21st. Thanks for speaking with us.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
It's going well. When Governor Pritzker closed down bars and restaurants, that obviously impacted those bands and singers that kind of sing at them. For especially those smaller groups, I mean, how has that impacted their livelihoods?
Yeah, I mean, it's been absolutely crushing. I think Monica painted a good picture with the kind of scrambling that a lot of restaurants in the Chicagoland area are doing right now to figure out how to make ends meet. And that's the exact same picture that we're seeing across most industries, which includes the live music industry as well. A lot of bands particularly depend on live music to make ends meet and make money. The bands don't really make any money pretty much through any like streaming services like Spotify or anywhere that you listen to music online. So they largely depend on touring and playing live shows every single night and selling merchandise and stuff like that and getting tips. That's how bands live. That's how I've lived for the past couple of years. And this has been, we've just been flipped on our head and we don't really know what to do. We're kind of scrambling and figuring out ways to survive right now. So, yeah.
How are people coming together to provide support? I've seen and heard a lot about these streaming live sets.
Yeah, you see a lot of especially you see like a lot of bigger musicians have been doing a lot of live streams, which has brought a lot of attention to the more local and like you mentioned, smaller bands that don't have the same crowd capacity. They've been doing live streams and stuff as soon as this started. So as soon as we found out that all of our touring plans pretty much for the rest of the year have been canceled, we started figuring out ways to do live streams or do we have any extra songs that we could put out online that, people might be more willing to know we're in a time of need. So we've been doing live streams and, like you can do a live stream on Instagram and you put up a little sign with your Venmo account and say, like, if you want to help out, and if you like our music and you're supporting us and stuff like that, you can donate here. Some bands have put items on sale, like they've put albums on sale and stuff like that. Some streaming services have waived the fees that they typically take, which are usually very large, in an effort to help bands make more money. So it's there's been a lot of different ways, a lot of creative ways that people have been pooling their efforts to help get bands through this time.
And, people are social distancing, and I guess you can't really just, play in the same place that you normally rehearse in. Is this a time, though, that people can still make great music even if they're just doing it, via an app?
Yeah, we've kind of 'cause I mean we've all the musicians that we know, which is pretty much our entire network of friends, have all been like communicating a lot during this time, figuring out ways and, like I said, pulling efforts together. But we've all been joking that there's going to be so many like albums about the end of the world or something like that this time next year. Like when the next album cycle comes, all the records are going to be about, the pandemic crisis and stuff going on. So I can definitely see some grim music coming in the future.
Not just R.E.M. song from years ago.
Yeah.
Well, Sean Newman is a journalist and a musician. He plays guitar and bass in the Chicago bands Jupiter Styles and Rat Boys. Sean, thank you so much for taking time to speak with us.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
And stay tuned to the 21st and your local NPR station for this week as we continue to bring you the latest on news and analysis on the coronavirus. Tomorrow on our show, we'll be talking more about what COVID-19 testing looks like here in Illinois. And we have a quick break, but when we come back, we'll revisit our conversation about the documentary Stateville Calling.
The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. For 150 years, Busey has helped business owners and entrepreneurs navigate financial decisions, achieve long-term goals, and realize dreams of success. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.